David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
You are tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about Little Fire Scarecrow? ただいま、デイビッド・リー・ロスとつながっています。小さな火のかかしはいかが？
Roth Radio. David Lee. David Lee Roth. G. Rose in the house, and I have my favorite guest of all time, Elizabeth Haight, H-A-Y-T. She is the columnist from the New York Post. She's talking relationships. Elizabeth, welcome again. How are you today?
I'm fantastic.
You look fantastic.
Thank you, baby.
Are those Jenna Jameson porno jeans that you're wearing?
Can you tell?
I can tell.
But that's just the bottom. What about the top?
Oh, you porn star. You fit into them perfectly, and I mean that in nothing but the most respectful way.
Thank you.
Okay, what are we talking about today that is part of relationships? As you know, I'm a relationship guy. God, help me out here.
Well, it's pretty near and dear to my heart.
Which is what?
Well, oral hygiene.
Oh, I love it. Maybe we should play the Shakira oral fixation part two. No, it's better in Spanish. But what? Talk to me.
Romantic deal breaker. Bad breath.
That is the biggest deal breaker to you, yeah?
To me, but also I consulted a shrink about this. He said deal breaker.
Really?
You know what? If it's a dental problem and it's really odoriferous, you don't have to get past it. You can totally break up. He said it's a primal instinct. And if people don't smell good, you know, if something turns you off about smell, there's no way to get around it.
I know that for a fact. There was a girl that I was so close to marrying. Her name was Lori from Milan, Italy.
Yeah.
Really well-to-do gal, super bright, spoke a dozen different languages, could read in all of them, really well put together gal in terms of what she did for a living, mm-hmm. et cetera. And I could never get past the way she tasted.
Ooh, how did she taste?
No, it was just there was always a little sour kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I always questioned, is this a dietary kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Is this an instinctive kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Everything else was great. I loved the smell of her skin, loved her company, loved the conversation, loved the sex, loved everything about it. But every time I kissed her, there was some kind of a chemical reaction, and she didn't technically have bad breath, per se.
Maybe she ate a lot of dairy.
Oh, that's entirely possible, too. Is that what contributes the most to this kind of a thing?
No. I mean, I was particularly writing about oral decay,
oof,
which I find so offensive.
It sounds like a band on Sony. So what do you do when you run into oral decay?
Okay, it depends on how hot the guy is. All right? If he's... there was this plastic surgeon I went out with a couple of years ago, and he had me pick him up at work after operating, and we were going out to dinner. He gets in the cab, and it's like a green cloud fills the back of it. It was dead of winter, and I put the window down and had to stick my head out like a dog riding over to the restaurant.
and ultimately, was that because he had bad teeth or bad hygiene, or was that just because he hadn't brushed his teeth, or body chemistry?
He must have changed out of his scrubs because he looked really nice. He was wearing, you know, beautiful black cashmere sweater. He had it going on. He knew about style. I mean, nice shoes, okay? But his teeth were kind of rodent-like and a little bit stained, which grossed me out. Oh, I could see you're checking out your own teeth right now, huh?
Well, I'm going to bite you at the end during the commercial.
But really, it was a breath thing. And to me, I was convinced it was decay or he had some sort of throat tumor. I mean, it was it smelled like a crypt in there.
Okay, and what did you say to him? Did you actually address this?
God knows. I sat really across the table, far away from him, okay, at the restaurant. Now, listen to this. It was a French restaurant.
Which means garlic for days, right?
Now, how about the cheese cart?
Yeah, you're right. You know what? Whenever you smell that, it smells like socks anyway. So he's going to add insult to injury.
Uh-huh.
And what did you do? Did you just politely maintain your disposition?
Yeah. We talked about our books, you know, and we had like a very civil conversation, but I didn't go out with him again. When he contacted me again and said, do you think we should do this? I just said no, flat out.
Oh, come on. You could have cut to the crash there if in case you wanted to save the relationship. No?
Listen, it's a really hard thing to do. I wrote about it in my column today. You know, you like a guy and he just reeks. I think you have to tell a guy, but you know, most are very sensitive and they're probably going to think, why should I put up with this? I don't even know this girl. No matter how hot she is.
Yeah, but it works both ways, too. I've gone out with gals. I hang out with all kinds of women or whatever, and you asked a first question that was poignant. You said maybe she's eating too many dairy products. Mm-hmm. How many gals, how many guys out there are walking around with that sour smell from too much Häagen-Dazs times a protein shake times whatever it is out there? No, really, that gets into your system as well.
Alcohol, cigarettes, you know, it's really funky. I'll tell you another problem, and I didn't get into this in my article today in the post. Ketones. So long distance runners, people who are on high protein, low fat diets,
sure,
and then other ill people who are diabetic or are starving, had this nasty kind of like acidic odor from their stomachs. Oh, you look disgusted.
No, it's
Dave.
Not. You're describing the high point of the Ted Nugent show when he guts the deer. No, really. That's what you're describing. There is a high protein content that
smells acidic, right?
Yeah, you're not aware of it. I've read several articles, one in the British medical journal Lancet, mm-hmm. that we are way more responsive to smells than taste or tactile feeling.
Yes. We only have four tastes in our mouth, although someone recently told me five, but we have sweet, sour, bitter, salty.
Something
right?
like that, yep.
Whereas our noses can smell... I don't know if it's thousands of scents.
No, I can tell you
hundreds.
Exactly. I can memorize the number. 2,700 different scents. It's mm-hmm. called olfactic science, okay? Olfactory mm-hmm. for your nose.
Yeah, yeah.
And that the average human being, not somebody who's prepared for heavy lifting or has a good memory, mm-hmm. but the average person can distinguish between 2,500 and 2,700 different fragrances, aromas, stinks, scents, or whatever. Truthfully.
You got to be careful. You know, I went out with this other guy. He was a younger guy. A few years back, and you know, you'd think, look, I'm a little older, he's a little younger, this is going to be hot. The guy was he was Indian, but you know, I mean, he'd grown up here. He had a thing for curry. I mean, I think it was coming out of his pores. I couldn't get past the curry breath.
I tell you, if he's eating vindaloo, it's coming out of more than his pores. Hold on, we're going to put on Ring of Fire while you continue. Also, in lieu of what we're talking about, apropos, is there are some gals that I know who are closer to my age. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm 51, mm-hmm. and they taste a lot different than Sasha does.
How do you know about Sasha?
I'm guessing on Sasha's
account.
You are
a dirty old man, you know that?
I am, and I am guessing on Sasha's account, but there's a lot of times that I pick up a kind of a musty kind of a taste or whatever from women my age. Is that a physical thing?
You'll have
that
to
occurs?
Kiss me later, baby, and I'll let you know.
Or is that
you'll let me know.
Or is that a dietary thing?
Well, it's both. It can be poor oral hygiene, and I have a lot to say about that. How to get your breath really minty fresh. Or it can be dietary, or you can have other conditions like, you know, sinus infection. You can have there are diseases that cause it. I mean, that's when you're really getting into the serious end of things. Most people, they don't floss.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Flossing is key. You know, they're lazy, but there are a lot of products on the market now that make flossing fun.
Okay. And you can keep it in your back pocket or your porno jeans, too, and use it at the bar later when you download some porno on your phone. Okay.
Well, there's a great little, I love this product. It's called the Hummingbird. It's pretty new. And it's, you know, it's the size of a hummingbird, and it's an electric flosser. It takes batteries. And for chicks, well, if you keep it in your purse, it's a little vibrating device. It doubles.
I knew the reason that we had you back on every Monday is because of your extraordinary awareness, baby.
It's learnedness. It's an education. I'm self-educated.
This is very cool. Now, you were talking about the oral hygiene or whatever, and you had a lot to say about that.
I do. I really do.
Hold forth. Go ahead.
Okay. It all began in 1996 when my husband and I split up, and I had this a long-term boyfriend. And he was fanatic about his teeth. And he would bust my chops for not flossing. You know, I was lazy. You know, my gums were bleeding. Everything people say about flossing. Well, after about 6 months, he said, I think you've got a rotten tooth. I was mortified. I went and brushed. I'm flossing. I'm mouthwashing. Nope. Still there. And so I went to the dentist a number of times. He couldn't find anything wrong. Well, finally, about like four dentist visits later, I had a cracked molar and there was decay in it and I needed root canal. So this boyfriend had the nose of a hound, better than any dentist. After that, I began this diligent flossing routine. And then when I was writing my book, which, you know, is called I'm No Saint. Yes, it is. What is it? $16.97 right now on Amazon? And when I was writing my book, which I ended about a year ago, since I knew I'd be in hibernation, I wore braces. I wanted to straighten my teeth. I have really pretty teeth. You know, the shape, the color.
Sure.
Good. You want to see them?
They look great.
Yeah. All right. So once I started to straighten my teeth, I became super hygienic because, you know, braces are really funky. You get food in them.
Sure.
And that was when I began flossing 3 times a day. And now I have a 20-minute regime, which involves flossing, and it involves oral irrigators, and I've got bleaching, and I've got threader flossing.
A little obsessive there, huh?
Totally obsessive. And usually when I meet a guy, what I'll often do is immediately give him a gift of all the new high-tech products.
Okay, no.
But I could tell you a really great trick, and it's very gross, but Dr. Jonathan Levine suggested that anyone try this if they're concerned about their breath.
Go ahead.
It's really funky. You take floss, floss your teeth. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
And you have to sniff your floss afterward, and if you come up with that, like, meatpacking district odor, you know you've got a bad tooth, and you've got to get to the dentist right away.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let me add to that. Those of us who are not used to it are the most responsive to it. For example, there are 4 of us who have been living out on the road for the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that is like living outdoors, virtually. Okay? We travel the highways and stuff. The windows are always open. The hotel rooms that we occupy, the windows are always open. It's specified in advance. We work outdoors all the time. Seriously, in the summertime for the outdoor festivals, you know, and the races and everything like that. Since we have come here to work in this environment, we've all gotten at least 2 and 3 different nosebleeds. Because we're not used to this kind of an environment, this compressed, filthy air that comes out of these ceilings. You see how we've closed up the holes with the plastic here?
Yeah,
we've done the crackhead special with, with duct tape and glad big giant garbage bags and everything. Because we've now even sent a letter saying, hey, I got 3 of them in as many weeks. We have guys out there, same kind of a thing. I think it's the same thing with the with bad breath.
You mean enclosed spaces?
Well, if you're used to it, no, if you're used to it, you don't notice it anymore.
I do.
Okay, well, now that you've changed your lifestyle and you're obsessive with that kind of a thing, you notice it right away. I maintain that a lot of people, you can condition yourself to where you don't notice that kind of stuff anymore. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree if you work in an old age home. Okay.
Well, I've spent a lot of time in old age homes as an EMT over the last 2 summers here, and it's with everybody is that we get so used to so many different kinds of smells that I think something shuts down. Okay.
Well, men are particularly inured to this whole thing. When I was doing my little interviews about this, the guys kept saying, "No, I don't really encounter it so much with women. I just think men are less hygienic," and I think it's true. It's the women who are encountering it more, especially if you smell a lot of noses, which means you do a lot of kissing like I do.
Well, also, the popular way to look now is don't brush your hair, don't shave, don't tuck in your shirt.
So what, let plaque build up? I mean, is that acceptable?
Well, if you're Austin Powers oriented, if you're Jean-Paul Sartre oriented, then the filthy big teeth go right hand in hand with that college professor kind of scholarly kind of a look, right?
Well, what's your oral hygiene routine?
Come on, I was a Boy Scout as a kid, you know, and I was telling you earlier, my life was very, very disciplined. My father was a prison doctor for the last 25 years of his life at Folsom Prison, San Quentin, and Max Lockdown at Pelican Bay. We brushed our teeth routinely or we got killed. Oh, yeah. There was no latitude there. And that was called administration because I started going out and camping in the great outdoors way far away off the beaten track before I was even a teenager. And that kind of stuff really plays into it heavy because if you get an infection in your tooth or you even slice yourself up flossing, something like that, and you're nowhere near civilization, or civilization resembles something from 300 years ago more likely, then you've got to know about those things. You don't even dare cut yourself trimming a toenail.
Do you know tooth decay, okay, it can travel into your bloodstream and kill you?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
It causes heart disease. In fact, people who have dental hygiene problems are more prone to heart disease.
I have an instructor. I don't know that I want to share his personal background, whatever. He had a little bit of a decaying tooth.
Yeah.
Inhaled too hard. A little tiny sliver of it got into his lung, and he had to have a major operation within
breath of the tooth?
That's the tooth. Came
it was
off
that rotten?
No. It was just a little tiny fragment of it got inhaled into his lung, and he was up at whatever it is within 48 hours. Major heavy lifting surgery to open him up and get that out of there.
I think you could, and I could talk about this all day. Do you think we're kind of freaky?
I feel freaky around you, hot stuff. That's why I keep inviting you back. Let's take a phone call. Mandy wants to talk about bad breath. Hutch, hit it, white boy.
Hi, David.
Mandy, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Do you have a question for Elizabeth?
Well, I have a suggestion.
Please.
When you come across somebody who you find attractive and their breath is not that appealing, why not put in, some gum and then kiss them and give them your gum and then... That's like the most polite way of getting them to...
You're saying take the gum out of your mouth and put it in theirs?
No, we'll transfer it.
Well, listen, a lot of people think that, you know, by offering the Altoids, you just say, hey, you want a mint to a guy?
Not offering, just giving it to them outright by your mouth.
Well, I think the thing that happens is... guys still don't get the message. You know, they'll kind of chomp away for a few minutes or they'll suck the mint, whatever you're going to give them. And then they don't realize it's really, if you're lucky, it's just camouflaging a serious dental problem. Yeah, they've got something really wrong. I mean, when I was doing this article for today, people were giving me all of these suggestions. We'll carry those really cool Listerine cellophane things.
But how long does something like that last? 4 minutes?
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work at all.
Well, I think you could use it in the case of, let's say, onion or garlic breath, and you could sort of get past it for a night if you keep chucking the guy the mints. But this dentist told me...
We used to do that with Quaaludes. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a few after this.
Yeah. Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, and I'm here with Elizabeth Haight. Amazingly great company. Good to see you again, Liz.
Oh, God, thanks for the compliment.
She is the New York Post relationship columnist, and today's column is about halitosis.
the deal breaker.
Who has the most halitosis? Is there a certain kind of people, a certain group of people? Do black people have worse breath than white people? Do Japanese people have different breath than black people? Is it a dietary thing? Or?
Well, I was speaking of the curry breath man before.
Okay.
I think, you know, any kind of like Eastern... sense, okay? Eastern seasoning can really get into your pores, right?
Well, probably because most Mideastern food is pretty bland stuff and the weather is pretty awful and there's not a lot of women. So what are you going to do? You're going to color up the food into something brain roasting, okay?
Hot. But, you know, I think bad breath is the great leveler. It knows no age, it knows no race, it knows no rank.
Do little infants have bad breath? I've never gotten close enough to one. If they barf on you, but otherwise, do the little babies have bad breath?
No, they don't. Maybe because they're generally drinking a lot for the most part, well, milk or water, and so you know.
You've got that look like try the other end, Dave.
But, you know, of course, doggies have bad breath, but I don't mind dog breath.
Dog breath is not bad breath. Dog breath smells like dog, okay? Doesn't it?
My dogs have dead breath, but, you know, I tolerate it. I mean, I'll kiss a dog before I'll kiss a man.
You're bitter. Let's take another call here. Chris, he's got a sour taste. You're on, Chris. Roth Radio. You're talking to D-Row. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you doing?
Excellent.
You were talking about kissing a girl who had a weird taste.
I don't know that it was a weird taste so much as it was slightly sour, and I didn't think it was diet because we were eating the same things. She had a really healthy regimen, you know, we always ate sushi or, you know, there wasn't a lot of alternative spices or whatever.
What could it have been, medication?
Yeah, was she lactose intolerant?
I have no idea, but it was kind of like that. There was a little bit of that milk product kind of a taste there.
Yeah, the one time I ran into that.
And describe it in detail, please.
In detail, I had this really serious online flirtation with this girl, and we had decided we would get together for some casual sex.
Go on.
It sounds like you're still recovering. Go ahead.
Come on.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I went to her house. We started making out, and this taste was so strong I couldn't take it, and I knew...
This guy speaks like the James Fry novel reads. There's no quotation marks. There's no setup, no narration. It's just the okay. And then you gave her a kiss, and what did you taste?
It was very sour, like you were talking about.
Okay.
And did you go any further? Could you get past it?
No,
you know?
I just said that I couldn't.
What'd you tell her? What'd you say?
I just told you that I couldn't get past it.
Yeah, but what did you tell her?
I ended up leaving.
What did you say? Like, I can't deal with this?
I said, I can't deal with this because at the time I had a girlfriend and she knew that.
Oh, but so you just blamed it on that as opposed to coming clean about her dirty mouth.
And what happened is you gave her a kiss and then you said, no way. You swung your little legs over the edge of a mattress and that was it.
No.
What did you say to her?
You're on the couch. All right. Look.
Actually, I ended up really offending her, I think, because she kind of disappeared soon after that.
But what did you say to her that offended her? I'm curious. Go ahead.
I didn't say a word. I just said, I don't think I can go through with this since I've got a girlfriend.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. Do you have a recommendation, Liz, for this fellow?
A lot of people use the fallback position, and in my column today, I advise against honesty because it doesn't work. And this doctor even said to me, this ENT doctor I spoke to, Dr. Charles Kimmelman, he said, people, if you confront them face to face, they'll deny, deny, deny. So it's better to not even go there. You've got to wait a few times and either, I guess you've got to shut your mouth and hold your breath in order to get past it. And then you can flip the guy. Okay, this is another part of my column. A good mouthwash, it has to have an antibacterial agent in it, which I list in my column. And Cepacol and Crest Pro Health Rinse both have this antibacterial agent in it. Now, this dentist, Jonathan Levine, advised, okay, you carry, you know, I don't know what, a purse-size, you know, bottle.
What are you carrying, a backpack? You sound like, this is what in the Army is called full battle rattle.
Right. So the dentist told me, you flip the guy the bottle, and you say, hey, baby, I really love you. I just tried this stuff. It's fantastic. Tell me what you think. Take a swig.
Okay, but then again, that's an obvious play, all right? That's an obvious play.
And another woman had a very, very roundabout plan. She said on the third date, which is like the time the guy expects to have sex, you make a detour to Duane Reade and you say, baby, I gotta get some products, you know, to freshen up and get prepared. You buy Trojans, you buy toothpaste, toothbrush, Listerine. You go back to his or her house and you say, I have to go freshen up. Want to join me? Hopefully they get the message. If that fails, this other woman, Valerie Frankel, she told me what she does is she makes an at-home remedy, a salad that has a lot of parsley in it, and then a fruit salad to finish up with green apples because both neutralize bad breath, and avoid red wine.
Why don't you just tie a flag around his head and screw him for America, baby? Come on, man. I'm serious. This is so complicated. Now, the Buddhists say that there is no isolated incident in life. There's no such thing as one thing. It's all part of a chain.
Yeah.
Do people who have bad breath also got BO?
I think that they neglect other parts of their body, frankly.
Well, it's becoming the trend, right? We seek to imitate what the French were doing back in the 60s. You don't brush your teeth, you don't shave, you don't brush your hair, right? You know,
you know
look.
What? I mean, how am I going to say this delicately? Straight guys, they're not thinking holistically about their entire bodies and the effect that all odors have on women. Do you get where I'm going with this? Not just underarm odor.
Sure.
Below the belt.
Okay. You're talking the carpet has to match the drapes. Everything's got to be clean and hygienic.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
I'm talking to New York Post relationship columnist Elizabeth Haight here. Let's take another call. Leslie, she says something about her boss here. Leslie, you're on.
Oh, my God, Dave. I love you.
D-Row in the house, baby.
I love you, baby.
Go ahead.
I'm so glad you're on the radio. I'm calling because I can get in on this conversation about the bad breath.
Please.
I work for a gynecologist.
Does that qualify as bad breath?
Ew!
The worst part is that you don't know which end it's coming from when you walk in the room.
I guess it pumps out.
Ow!
I guess it pumps from the same bellows, right?
You have no idea, though. It stinks up the whole entire office just from his mouth.
Isn't it amazing that doctors, okay, these are people of medicine. They don't demand scientific medical intervention. How are they so unaware of their own odors? Especially, let's say, this particular surgeon I was talking about, he was behind a surgical mask all day. How come he didn't choke on his own breath?
Exactly.
Well, like I said, you get used to anything. The human animal is supremely adaptable. And we usually think of, oh, if I move like an Eskimo to the Arctic, I can get used to the cold. Start small. You'll get used to your own smell if you're not careful. And then,
it's hard for me to even walk into the room and not put that offended look on my face. I actually have to take two steps back because it's so offensive. It's horrible.
Does this effectively create an adversarial, hostile workplace?
Well, there are times when the breath is downright horrible. I feel like I got to kill him, but, you know, I hold back. I restrain myself.
I got to wonder. Hold on, Liz. I got to wonder out loud because there is such a thing as somebody creating a hostile, negative kind of a workplace. And I'm wondering if you went to human resources or something like that and said that, you had explained your issues with this individual and he refused, that in fact he's providing an amazingly huge distraction to what you're attempting to do. Is that an actionable sequence of events? Can you actually get somebody
sue someone for bad breath?
If in fact,
yeah,
if in fact it's so a distraction that you can't do your work. We know of a case where a disc jockey complained. It was a guy who had a seat, okay, and the woman who came after him always wore hairspray or perfume, and she would get it on the chair, okay? She sued the company for $7 million and won the case.
Why?
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding
you. What was her case if she was the one stinking up the chair?
No, the guy sued the company and said, this is my chair, this is where I work, and that this woman has repeatedly come in with perfume and hairspray and hair conditioner, whatever it is, that she gets it on the chair. They did everything they could to wipe down the chair every
409
time. Yeah, but it didn't work. And he claimed that it was still there, that it caused a major distraction in the workplace for him, and he sued and won the case.
Now,
okay?
In your case with the gynecologist?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me this. Have patients ever, in confidence, said, man, this doctor really stinks?
Well, I don't think, not to me, only because I don't ever think he goes to that end. I think he goes right to work when he gets in the room.
Oh, he goes to the other end.
Goes to the other end. But, I'm wondering if I could sue for mental anguish because I can't go to a gynecologist anymore without being ruined.
The experience is no longer the same for you,
any
right?
Any chance of can you quit and go to a different doctor?
No, she can't. Come on, you know how hard it is to find good gigs in the city, especially in that kind of echelon there. I'm wondering, have you had a conversation with this individual about this?
No, because I've said something to my coworker, and she's like, oh, I haven't noticed. I don't know how she say she hasn't noticed.
Okay, well, that's probably her protecting her job, hoping that you say something and get fired.
Or she lacks, or her olfactory senses are dead. Maybe she smokes. Does she smoke?
No, she doesn't.
Okay, but nevertheless, you can get used to anything. Look at the people who drive the honey wagons, they're called. You know, when you do a movie set or you work and shoot a video and they drive the portisans around.
Yeah.
Look at the guys who work for the sewage company, the garbage companies and stuff like this, is they get very used to that after a while. Look at the guys who work in the abattoirs or for Farmer John.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's the most horrifying stench ever. I worked with a lot of the burn victims during the Vietnam era when I was a surgical orderly. I worked for 2 years. It was horrible. And after about 6 months, we didn't even notice. After 6 months, we no longer used Vicks VapoRub. We never used the masks. We never used anything. We would talk to some of the most horrifying injuries that you could possibly smell. And we never smelled it. Our girlfriends, the guy I was working with, Jesse, the four of us would go out routinely and the girlfriends could not handle it.
Guys reek afterward?
Oh, yeah. It was on our clothes and it was in our haircuts and whatever, but we never noticed. After a while, we stopped all of the usual reflexive this and that, and I can testify that you will get used to impossibly horrendous smells if you spend enough time around it, and if that's how you make your living, then you have to get used to it.
Yeah, I mean, doctor, certainly this otolaryngologist who I saw, an ENT, Dr. Charles Kimmelman, told me that it used to be sort of the old-fashioned medical technique was a doctor would ask a patient to breathe out, to exhale, because breath is a good way of testing someone's health. You know, people who are sick have bad breath, but that's no longer done anymore. So maybe doctors have become less... Why are doctors becoming less attuned to breath? What do you think?
Because you always got your face right in the fire. After a while, you can take a lot more heat than you could before. You want to stick around for one more episode of this, Liz?
Sure, but
got the time?
Yeah, because I'd like to inform the public about the greatest defense to our noses.
You got the time? You got the breath? Don't go away.
Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
All right, Roth Radio tearing it up on a big holiday here, discussing bad breath. Hey, nothing but the real stuff, keeping it real, y'all, here on Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth. My special guest, Elizabeth Haight from the New York Post. Welcome again, Elizabeth.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Where do we pick up on this here? You want to take another phone call?
I think we should.
Okay. Take it from the top there. Frank's got neighbors with bad breath, it looks like. Frank, be Frank. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure will. Are you aware of kimchi and the Korean community?
Vividly.
Yeah.
But go ahead and share with those of our fans who are not familiar with it. Go ahead.
It's some type of cured cabbage that has a distinct odor that quite, it's not like anything else. My neighbors cook a lot, and the smell coming from their apartment reminds me of a fish getting a permanent in an outhouse. Incredible.
How long did it take you to cook up that line?
Oh, please. It was just a matter of going by it and trying to think, what does that smell like?
Okay, I can explain. Let me share with you what kimchi really is, mm-hmm. okay? Just as they have a salsa with Mexican food, okay? And just as they have all the dipping sauces that go with Thai food, mm-hmm. okay? Kimchi goes with all Korean food. And here's how you make it. You take white cabbage, okay? And you put it in a stone crock pot. And you load it up with the hottest peppers. And it's all a creative item here. You load it up with five different kinds of hot peppers, you know, and you can mix in any kind of other liquids that you like in there for flavor. But the idea is that you're mixing this cabbage with the hottest peppers you can possibly find, and you can let it sit there for up to 3 years. Okay? Oh, yeah. And this stuff is two parts hot pepper and three parts nuclear waste.
Now, does it decompose?
Oh, totally. And it gets nice and soft, and you eat it in little pieces along with whatever you barbecue. Korean barbecue is real popular all over the world, and particularly in Southeast Asia, places like Japan and China. It's considered fast food late night because the Koreans are the ones who are willing to stay up all night in Tokyo. Instead of going to McDonald's, if you finish going to the bars at 3 in the morning, you'll go to Korean barbecue. They stay open 24 hours, 7 days a week, even here in the inner city. Korean restaurants, Korean breakfast isn't much different than Korean dinner, okay? And kimchi, you eat with everything. And again, you will dull your senses until finally you stop getting what Johnny Cash called the ring of fire. You'll stop getting stomach aches. You'll stop getting your nose running and your eyes watering. You'll become addicted to it.
But what are we going to do about Frank? He needs our help.
No, Frank doesn't need our help. He needs to start hanging out with some Koreans and get in the mix.
You know what I was thinking for Frank? What if Frank, are you there?
I'm sure he's still there.
Okay.
He's listening on the radio.
Right.
Go ahead. He's dialing a Korean restaurant even as we speak. Go
Frank
ahead, Liz.
Gone. You know what? The kimchi killed him.
Well, no, it probably killed his love life. He's got more time on his hands.
He keeled over.
What do you think? That this goes with a lot of food, okay? I love Indian food. Great, man. You get vindaloo. You get, it's called phal, P-H-A-L. It's super hot. Again, your nose is going to run.
Go out and eat it. Don't cook it in the home.
Okay. How much do you do cooking at home,
Absolutely
actually?
Absolutely none.
Me neither. Breakfast, maybe. Microwave some eggs, watch New York One, and go to work.
Uh-huh. Nothing. You know, peanut butter and jelly. That's about as extensive as it gets.
What does that mean about you? Peanut butter and jelly, because that's my sister's favorite.
Really? I eat it every morning for breakfast. Actually, I eat cashew butter, because my brother told me like peanuts have some toxin in them.
And what does that make your breath smell like?
I think it's great.
It smells like peanuts.
My dogs like it. They seem to lick my mouth every time I eat it.
You slut. I love you. Okay, take another here. He's got a coworker with bad breath. His name is Dan. Dan, what are you going to do about this? Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Great show.
Thank you.
I used to work in an office years ago with one of the women there. She used to smoke, like a chain smoke, and
sure.
drink coffee nonstop.
Ouch.
To the point where when she would Ooh. Talk on the phones, the receiver used to smell afterwards. And we would, it got to be a joke where when everybody would leave for lunch, the last person out would always switch the receiver because she would use different phones in the office.
Okay,
you
somebody
make sure you didn't get stuck with the bad phone.
Look, you got, in that case, you put the Fantastic on her desk. Okay, that's
well, now, she used to use all the different phones because she was like the supervisor. So she'd go to every different desk. If the phone rang, she'd pick it up.
You know, that coffee smell is horrendous. That's like dragon breath. That's total hog.
Coupled with cigarettes.
Well, the cigarettes, you know, I smoke occasionally, and it's not a big issue to me. Other people's cigarette smoke uh-huh. is an issue to me. But, you know, when I'm smoking, it's usually around where alcohol is involved, and the women are wearing a lot of perfume. I've already spent $700. Oh. I'm going to overlook it.
Do you know, I went out, it was about 2 weeks ago, with this guy. He's a writer, okay, and a serious professional poker player, nearly, and an author. And he's got a bit of a drinking problem. Okay, and he's sitting there, and I'm getting blasted across the table from this, like, fermented breath. And I said, I couldn't take it anymore. He was, you know, pushing. He wanted more. I said, look, I'm going to be square with you. You reek. You know?
And what was his response to that, Liz?
He was going to dry out. He was going to go to meetings.
Get out of
here.
Wait a minute. He's going to go through AA in order to get into your little Speedos?
You get it.
I believe
pretty,
it.
They're pretty, pretty string, you know, cute little flowered numbers. Anyway, so I even called, I emailed him yesterday, and I asked, so how's the wagon going? He said he's wagon-licious.
I love it. Okay, well, it sounds like another column about forming even as we speak here.
Detox programs.
You know what? I don't have a problem with girls who drink most booze except for red wine.
Gross, right?
Wow. Again, I would run into that. I was dating a gal when I was doing the Las Vegas show.
Yeah.
I had a great Vegas band, and I was with one of the dancers, you know, and we would have a good time, and she loved to drink red wine. To me, I like Jack Daniels, and I never really get a much of a complaint about that. That's got kind of a malted...
Yeah, it's kind of sexy.
Yeah, there's kind of a malted, there's a like a molasses kind of a aroma to that kind of a booze.
Well, it's sort of dirty summer night. It's very sexy. Goes back to when you're a teenager. I mean, for me, that would have a kind of like nostalgia.
So you would put on your Jenna Jameson porno jeans, and you would allow me to breathe whiskey all over you?
I'd beg you to breathe all over me. And then while
I'm writing this down, darling.
Lick me, too.
That's next. Week. Okay, coming up, Will, he's got bad breath, or at least he's dealing with some. 866-313-3733. Will, you're on.
What's good?
How are you today?
I'm great. No, not that I had bad breath, but I'm just saying, you know, I think from a woman's standpoint, since they're all about what they smell like and how they do those things, it's kind of an awkward feeling when you go over to kiss a girl and her teeth are moving out of the way because her breath stinks so bad. You
now
know what I mean? You can't really see what's going on. You can't really get a good kiss going. You know what I mean?
How does, you know, I'm wondering how many men seem to encounter that. We're getting a lot of calls today from guys. And I thought it was the chicks who had the sensitive nasal passages.
No, the chicks are allowed to complain a lot more vehemently and often.
Sensitive nasal passage. I think it's basically just about, you know, you can smell it. If I can smell it, I know you can. And me being a guy, I usually try to take care of myself. I got my little backpack with all the stuff just in case, deodorant from that.
You are so my kind of man.
I work at a seafood restaurant, you know?
Okay, so what you're talking about is that, well, excuse me, let me back up. Liz is showing some reasonable level of astonishment here in that so many guys are calling in, and I'm going to posit this idea, is that it's okay for women to complain out loud about the hygiene issues or whatever about guys, but how often do you find a forum where guys can call up and say, hey, you stink too?
You know, it isn't that often. You're right. Maybe it's because guys are programmed to want sex. They think at all costs. You know, they can't even back off in the face of, oh, I don't know, eye-watering odors. Do you think that's it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you know what?
Absolutely it is. Are you kidding? Booty pulls a freight train. Actually, all booty has to do is stand on the grassy hill, and us guys will pull the freight train in an effort to take a prolonged adventure into the Bermuda Triangle.
So
here.
Booty trumps bad breath.
Oh, absolutely.
Nice to know.
Booty trumps inability to read. Booty trumps inability to dance. Booty trumps you don't speak English. Booty trumps drops food all over self. Booty trumps it all.
You know what just amazes me is what men will endure for the sake of booty. And I guess that's what we're talking about here. Bad breath. You know, I mean, listen, if a girl's got bad breath, how are you going to get to second base? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you go any further? But you're telling me guys will do it.
Oh, absolutely, we will. Then we have priorities, Liz, and I think that's what I'm trying to address. Let's take one more call here. Karen, what kind of priorities that you have? Go ahead, you're on.
Hey, David. I just want to say, whoever thinks that if they smoke and all the cologne, perfume, I don't care what the hell you wear, you stink. Your breath stinks. You smell. You're gross. It's gross. I'm telling you right now. I have a girlfriend who quit smoking. I said, you know what, Amory? Your house is meticulous. You dress meticulous. You're beautiful. But you stink.
Yeah. You know what I wonder about? As per our last conversation, men always want morning sex. What are they? You know, their noses don't work? I mean, if you're going to have morning sex, you got to deal with morning breath.
Hey, you take one for the regiment. That's what you do. My special guest, Elizabeth Haight, who's always ready to take one for the regiment. Who loves you, Elizabeth? I do.
I love the regiment.
God bless you. Are you going to come back and visit us next Monday?
Absolutely.
Please do. That seat is always yours. Animal will be protecting it for you. Our special guest, her name is Elizabeth Haight, H-A-Y-T, ElizabethHaight.com, and she's in the column. She is the columnist for the New York Post on relationships, and she does not have bad breath. God
Thank
bless you.
You,
baby. Put the loop back on there one more time, babe. We got excited one time. You know what, friends? We're going to be back tomorrow. And like I said earlier, if you have a local real radio station who's tuned in on this or could be tuned in on this, start making the calls. Get in on with your program directors. Get on with your station managers. Get on with all your favorite disc jockeys, because this is good after-hours radio for any time, day or night. This goes in the afternoon, just like barbecue. It's good for breakfast, and it's even better at happy hour. Late nights, talk to me, because I don't have bad breath either. Yours truly, David Lee. David Lee Roth. See you guys in about 24. Kiss it. Stop!